Hello, Rabosai. Good morning. Good afternoon. It's Thursday, January 23rd. We're going to third shiur in Perek Havona. Yesterday, we talked about the first Tosfos in Perek Havona. Tosfos asks a question, very simple question, that we've seen the type of Tosfos before, and he asks, why is the order of Havona coming right after the Prakim about Hotza'ah? It doesn't follow. And we gave a lot of different answers yesterday. One answer we gave yesterday was that we're going backwards from Makabe Patish, and Habona is related to Makabe Patish. Another answer that we gave was we suggested at the end of yesterday that maybe since the Gemara has to show that the different actions of Bona Kolshu were in the Mishkan, that shows it's sort of a Malacha Grua in some minuscule way, so we wanted to put it right after Hotza, which is Malacha Grua. I want to give you the last source of the first set of Maror Makomos was a sefer called Meginei Shlomo. Who was the Meginei Shlomo?
Wait,
the first Maror Makomos? Yes, Meginei, he was the protector of Shlomo. Who's Shlomo?
Shlomo
Yitzhaki. I believe he is the grandfather of the Pnei Yehoshua, I think. He was a middle-aged Acharon, and he always tries to protect Rashi from all the questions that Tosfos asks on him. So if you ever have a Tosfos, I don't think it's every Masechta, but if you ever have a Masechta that has the Sefer Meginei Shlomo, if you ever have a Tosfos that asks questions on Rashi, and you want to know, well, how did Rashi answer those questions, you can look it up in the Sefer Meginei, protector of Shlomo, Shlomo Yitzchaki, Rashi. So I think there's a beautiful teretz. It's almost a historical teretz. Why? What's the order for the Prakim? What's the order for the Mishnayos in terms of Hotza'ah, then Makor Patish and Bona, and then Hachoresh and Kosev? He says it's very simply. Everything in Malachas Shabbos follows the pattern of the Mishkan. So, what happens first when you wanted to build a Mishkan? You have to bring donations, right? So what's the first thing that we talk about? Hotza'ah. What did you do? What was the next thing that they did? They built walls. That was the Mishkan. So we talk about Bona. Makabe Patish goes together with that. We'll take a break because just like Makabe Patish and Habona are B'mashu, so Choresh also is B'mashu, so Choresh goes next. What did they do after they have the walls? How did they know which walls go where?
Oh, they had to write which
walls. They had to write on the walls. So what's next? What's the next Mishnah after Havona? Then Hachoresh is the next Mishnah. What's the Mishnah after that? Hakosev. You have to write, because that's also learned. What's after that? I'm on page 5 of the Maror Makomos now. What's right after the... did anyone see this Meginei Shlomo?
No, we didn't.
Let's see it inside, because it's very easy to read. It's very easy to read, and we'll skip the parentheses.
Oh, he's in the...
It's a book. Yeah, it's a Sefer Meginei Shlomo.
But they skipped also firing. Also, like in a fire again.
And there's a book for each masechet?
We'll see. I don't remember.
This is not really sticking up for Rashi.
No, this is not. No, this is just answering Tosa's question, even though it's not a question on Rashi. I just wanted to talk about the sefer in general. It's a sefer Meginei Shlomo. In one sefer, he has his commentary on a number of masechetot in one book, one volume. So Odia Shlomer, another answer. He gives us a few answers. Sidura. De Mishkan Nakat. What does the word Nakat means? Page 5 of your Maror Makomos, set 1. Do you have the first set? I don't have the first set.
Wait, this is the order of the Gemara or the order of the Mishnah?
The order of the Mishnayos. Okay, so if you don't have, and everyone hasn't, I don't want to do it inside. So the first one we said is, first you bring the donations, that's Hotza'ah. The next one is you build the walls. After you build the walls, you have to know which walls go where, so you do Kosev. That's where we learn Kosev from the markings on the walls of the Mishkan, on the crush of the planks, to know what goes where. After you have the walls, what do you have to put up next? The curtains. So what do we have after HaKosev? What's the next perek? Yeah, I'll open up. What's the next perek after our perek? Havona. That's the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is before Ha'oreg. What does Oreg mean?
To kill?
No. Ho'reg with a hey is to kill. Oreg with an aleph is? Close. That's kosher.
To
to die?
That's Matir. Like Matir Asurim. Releases the bound. Oreg is to?
Untie.
Weave. Weave. And what's in that perek Oreg? All the other, all the things that relate to weaving and to making and tearing and doing all the things that have to do with threads. What's the next Mishnah? Look on Perek Daf Kuf Hei. Daf Kuf Hei is the next perek. We're going to get there, hopefully.
Short.
Yeah, Perek Habon is short. We're going to hopefully finish it. So Perek Daf Kuf Hei is Oreg. What's after Kuf Hei? What's Kuf Hei and Beis? On top. Korea, because that's still talking about how to make the curtains. What's the end of that Mishnah? Menafit, Tzovea, Tove, Oreg, etc. Those are all the things that happened with the curtains. What happens after they had the curtains? What do they have to do next to build the Mishkan? They brought everything. They built the walls. They constructed the parochas and the curtains. What was the roof of the Mishkan made out of?
There was no roof.
Yes, there was. But it wasn't the roof. What was the roof of the Mishkan constructed from? What do we call it in the Torah? Ohel Moed. How was it an ohel? What was on top?
Tent.
What was it made out of?
Sheep. Leaves.
Oh. Harvest.
That's a sukkah.
Gold.
It looked nice. It's very beautiful, but it's not a tapestry.
Is it gold?
No.
Planks.
No. Orot techashim.
A leather?
A skin of an animal called tachash, a very colorful animal. How do you get that animal?
Killing.
Oh, so what's going to be on the next daf kavav amud aleph? No?
Close?
Before that? Before, yes, kavav amud aleph. Open up. Kuf. Right, now the next one. Next one on the bottom. That's the verb. That's Oreg. Turn the page, Yaniv. The next bottom left. What do you have there?
You mean the Mishnah?
Yeah. We're talking about the Mishnayos. Bottom of Kufa Vamanalach. Sad. They're talking about a tzipor, correct. We're talking about hunting. So you have to catch it, and after that, the rest of the Mishnayos talk about catching. So that's the answer in terms of the ordering of these Mishnayos. That he's giving, that it all follows the order of the building of the Mishkan. Beautiful terrace. I think it's beautiful. It's so like fits. First you get the raw materials, then you build the walls, then you put the curtains up, then you put the roof on. Period. What? Yeah, I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, Tosfos Yom Tov is the worst. No, I mean like...
Yeah, it has... The Piskei Rid helped him a little bit. But, yeah. Okay, that's the end of that topic. We finished the topic of why... Of the first Tosos. We finished the Tosos, gentlemen. It's only the third day of Shir. Are we ready for this? The Tosos. Okay, was that half a line? Tosos. But we finished it. Now, we're going to begin the beautiful Sugya, and I mean that it's beautiful because it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's also, after we do the general introduction of the Sugya for 2 days, let's say, we're going to get into Halacha L'maisa very quickly. Very quickly, because there's a lot of Halacha L'maisa here. We're going to talk about Makkah B'Patish. One of the two Av Malachas in our Mishnah was, one was Bona, the second was Makkah B'Patish, and we got a very skewed perspective of what Makkah B'Patish is based on our Mishnah, because Rashi told us an example. The example that Rashi told us is what? What was the Rashi's example of Makkah B'Patish?
The last the rocks hit whenever you fix...
You explode the Sela... And it will crumble a little bit. The crumbs will be crumbled down, crumbling, and you will hit with a hammer, and it will fall.
Okay. Can I ask you to do something funny?
Yeah.
If you want to see what the definition of each malacha is, where would you look in this masechta? What daf? What?
Ayin Gimel.
So everybody turns daf Ayin Gimel, and. See what do you think Rash? What do you think Rash is going to say when he explains Makkah B'Patish? What do you think he's going to say?
The finishing touch.
The finishing touch. I would think he's going to say what he just said. But yeah, so you take a hammer and you knock off the stone off the mountainside, right?
Is that just an example?
So let's see. That's what we have to figure out right now. Makav Patish, in fact, is the bottom line of Rashi, Dafayin Gimel Amud Aleph. Reuven, you want to try it? Stop. Ugmar kol malacha, period. It's the ending of every malacha, that's Makav Patish. Shekein, such that...
Uman makeb kurnas al asadam, makhliko.
What's an uman?
An artisan.
Correct. An artisan hits with a, what's a kurnas al hasadan?
The hammer on the anvil.
Good. To do what?
To make it flat.
How do you say that in Hebrew?
Lachaliko.
Good. When?
Bigmar melacha.
Period.
At the end of the month. Umatnite nami lo mechayvin le ela bigmar melacha. And we learn from the Mishnah that we are only chayav at the end of the melacha.
Fine. So here Rashi says that the example of Makav Patish is what?
You hit the hammer.
Is the hitting the hammer to flatten it out on the anvil.
How is that Gmar Malacha? It's not even for the Malacha. It's not.
That's what Rav Shimon and
Gamliel. Yeah, what Rav Shimon and Gamliel explained in our Mishnah is how Rashi is explaining what the Malacha is over here. We're going to have to figure out why is Rashi explaining the definition of the Malacha based on how Rav Shimon and Gamliel in our Mishnah said.
It's not even.
Correct. So that we're going to explain later. But I just wanted you to see, starting to introduce the Masad, the Sugya of Makav Patish. Now let's come to our Mishnah. This morning on the Mar Makomos, you looked at Rashi on our Mishnah about chiseling.
Yeah.
Who would like to read the Rashi on Misateit or Misaseis? Alan, did you see Rashi Misaseis, the first source on the Mar Makomos?
Yeah.
So Rashi, a top line. It's a hard Rashi to read. It's not so hard. Did we do it yesterday?
Yeah.
We did it yesterday. I'm sorry. Okay, fine. So what does Rashi say? I just want to highlight a few things. Rashi says that... We're not going to read it because I forgot that we did it yesterday. Rashi points out that we do different things in different places.
Yeah.
Right? Some places, Makav Patish is when you chisel it too.
Smooth it.
And some places, Makav Patish is when you chisel it too.
Bump.
Which are the exact opposite, right? Yeah. Bumps are the opposite of smooth. Smooth is the opposite of bumps. So it really depends on what your, it sounds like, it depends on what you do in your location. Whatever the building styles in your location are, however they do rocks. So we said in Jerusalem, rock is bumpy. So when you have your rock and you finish it off by making the bumps, that will be Makav Patish, yeah.
It just seems strange how Minhag HaMakom would have an impact on what is Midoraisa or not.
100%. Isn't that interesting?
Well, it's similar, maybe.
Exactly.
I mean, to some, maybe it's similar to like, you know, after made a comparison in the beginning of the Basra, where it says that the compensation is, right, is based on what the Minhag HaMakom is there, or how you divide it.
There, yes. Let's say I do work for you. You didn't ask me to do work for you. I go into your field, your backyard, and I build a shack. So you have to pay me whatever the going rate for 5 hours of work or what a cheap shack would cost. But obviously it depends. If you're in one place, it's going to cost one amount. If you're in a different place where there's a different economy, it'll cost a very different amount. And you'll be hired to me whatever that amount is in that specific location. There it's different, because there you assume that people will pay whatever the value of a certain thing is. Jesse's pointing out that you're talking about derisas here. That if you chisel a bump in Jerusalem, Yechayv Daraisa, you do that same act in Tel Aviv, where they have smooth stones, you're putter. Or is it mutter? That's a different discussion. But it's not Asa Daraisa. That's 100%. Does it bother you, or are you just pointing that out as interesting?
It's strange.
Okay, so let's answer. Who can answer Jesse's problem? Why would Makav Patish be subjective on a Daraisa level?
I was thinking of a suggestion, I think yesterday. Melechas Machshavet, the fact that when you chisel the wrong way, Rashi maybe is assuming...
I didn't even think that.
Maybe he's assuming that you're not even building, you're just, whatever, distressing yourself or doing whatever else, something else. Maybe Rashi is assuming you're not building, you're just...
Okay, don't say the word building, because we're talking about Makav Patish now.
Yeah, but you're not completing something.
Well, that's... We have to discuss... Okay, you have an answer for yourself?
Yeah, it's got to be like a philosophical answer almost, like the Gemara, was it Bava Kama, the Tanur Shalachnai, about why the The machloket was about whether it's makabel tumah or not. The Torah is makabel tumah or not.
Yeah.
And the reason why Rov says it is makabel tumah in a disagreement with Rabbi Eliezer was because, or could be because conceptually, that objectively it's true. It's just a bunch of blocks stacked together to make an oven. And if it's just a bunch of blocks, it's not a kli, and therefore it can't be makabel tumah. But subjectively, it's a kli. And that's why a tanu or shalachnai can be makabel tumah. So then there's a subjective element that in part determines what is midoraisa, would in part determine what's midoraisa or not. If you're in a makom where subjectively something is considered finished, then you've done the yisur d'oraisa makom apatish. If you're in a makom where you've done that same action and it's not considered finished, then there's no...
100%. I don't think that's philosophical at all. I think that what is the malacha? What's makom apatish? Finishing. So if it's finishing, it's finishing. Okay, so in Tel Aviv, this is not finishing. In Yerushalayim, it is finishing. That's not philosophical. I think that's correct.
It's subjective.
Subjective 100%. Correct. Exactly! You're saying what we said on the first day of Shir. That, we said it about Bona, that perhaps at Makom HaPatish, where the Torah is not prohibiting an action. The Torah is prohibiting a type of action. There's no one. That's why when we see Makom HaPatish, we're going to see totally different things to do with my hands. Some of you might have seen some of them in the different Gemaras. Did you see any of the Gemaras that I put on the Marma Kamas? Which Gemara did you see?
The first one.
Ayin Hay. What were the different examples on the Ayin Hay of what constitutes Makom HaPatish?
Rolling up a...
Blowing a... Okay, does anyone know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
fine.
Yes. We saw did she do that?
Yeah.
To make the bubble?
Yeah.
Okay, that's blowing with your mouth. What's the other example of Makom HaPatish?
Letters? The letters.
No, but I know that.
That was close.
The curtains were like
tying the bottoms of the
thread.
We'll have to see that Gemara a little more carefully. I don't think it was tying.
Threads. Taking out the threads.
There was not threads, there were thorns stuck in the threads.
Oh.
So pulling out the thorns. At the end, and after you would weave. Imagine this. Imagine you have a big loom and you weave big pieces of fabric to make a big thing of fabric, and then you make it into a suit. But the wind is blowing. So what gets caught in the fabric as you're weaving? Little thorns, or tiny leaf, or little needle of from a pine tree. So after you finish the suit, you have to pull out the pine needle and that thorn. So there's Makom HaPatish of banging a hammer, there's Makom HaPatish of pulling out a thorn, there's Makom HaPatish of blowing with my mouth and through a tube into a melted glass. There's Makom HaPatish.
There was another one to narrow it.
What?
Narrow a kelly.
Narrow a kelly, 100%. So we have so many different maisim that all constitute Makom HaPatish. Why? Because they're all just finishing. That's what Rashi said on the Mishnah, that whenever you... Gemar Malacha is Makom HaPatish. Even though, you're right, they're totally different. So therefore, just like there are different actions, you could have the same action in different places. Because the Torah is not focusing on a specific action. The Torah is focusing on a point. Gemar Malacha.
Okay.
So this action is Gemar Malacha, this action is not Gemar Malacha. And you know what? Let's say we're in Yerushalayim and I have a stone that I'm going to chisel to make bangs. But you know what I want to do after that? After that, no, it's going to go in front of my house and it's going to say Orlean on front. So after I make it into the Jerusalem stone with all the pokies, I'm going to then carve Orlean. So maybe the chiseling to make it into Jerusalem stone will not be Makom HaPatish because I plan to afterwards carve my name Orlean into the top. So even in so you see, it's really...
Yeah, but what if you... So the question is, it's still strange because you don't exactly know when you've done Makom HaPatish. There's no clear criterion because what if I'm Yerushalayim and I chisel it, and that the minhag makom of Makom HaPatish in Tveria is to chisel it, but it's not in Yerushalayim. But I know that that's the minhag makom because I'm a quarrier. I'm an experienced quarrier. And to have a harama, I'll chisel it in a different way than in the...
I don't know the answer to your question. Okay, I don't know. But let's see something interesting, because we're going to see, it's going to be... So this Rashi sounds like he's saying it depends on what should be. Let me ask you a question. Rashi says that, let's look at Rashi carefully. Second line, Rashi says, Hakol lefi hamakom. Everyone have it? Any of you got it? Hakol lefi hamakom. Sheyesh mekomot shuregin lahachlik. So therefore, to bank it smoothly will be makub patish. Sheyesh mekomot shuregin lacharot bacharitzin, to hole holes in it. Where it's Ashkenaz, that's how they do that. That will be makub patish. Why didn't he also add that? And there are some places where they don't do either, then
it's better to do the
either just say than just taking the stone off the. Is he saying that taking the stone off the mountain where you don't do anything is makabe patish?
No.
What happens in a place where you don't do either? Then what's the finishing touch?
Taking the thing off the rock, taking the thing off the cliff.
So either
the first step is the finishing touch, or there is no finishing touch.
Let's say I knocked the stone off the wall. Didn't we have a Rashi like yesterday, like today, that said that Makabe? What's the classical case of Makabe Patish?
Yeah, that's what we said before.
Knocking the stone off the wall. Yeah, that's knocking the stone off the wall. And we assume, though, that's classical Makabe Patish. Why? Because that's the
finishing touch.
Before Tosos. We're in Rashi. So that's the finishing touch. Really? It's the finishing touch? I thought the finishing touch was chiseling the front of the stone to make it ready for use.
Depends. If the stone is already detached from the wall before Shabbos, then the finishing touch would be...
You said... Nah, I want to know what's the finishing touch of...
We have the same problem as with the buildings, right?
No.
No, because a building, you could have 1,000 different actions to build a building. They're all called building. A finishing touch, only one touch finishes. Right? That's the difference between finishing.
For the people that want it that way, maybe I want it as it is. Like rocks, I don't want to make it perfect, I don't want to make it smooth, I don't want to make it with holes.
Let me just say what's happening. I asked the question. I said that we have an internal contradiction in Rashi in this very Mishnah. You were reading this Mishnah, and within four lines of each other, two lines of each other, you didn't even realize that you read a contradiction. Rashi says that makub patish is when you knock the stone off because that's finishing. And the Rashi right before was talking about chiseling. I says that chiseling is makub patish because that's how you finish up stones. Do you realize you just contradicted yourself? Is the finishing point of a stone or preparing a stone when you knock off the mountain? Wait a sec. If you're going to knock off the mountain and then fix the front of it to make it a nice Jerusalem stone, so that means knocking off the mountain was not makabe patish. It was not the final point.
Why does that be a contradiction? They're both makabe patish. It's just different situations.
You're saying that it's a different place.
Right.
You're saying that there are some places where they chisel like this, some places where they chisel like that, and some places don't chisel at all. And in those places...
Whenever you take it off the cliff...
Taking off the cliff would be makabe patish. You're giving a great answer. You might even be right. It's interesting that Rashi didn't say that, because when he's talked about two different kinds of chiseling, he went out of his way to say there could be two different types of chiseling in different locations. The next Rashi goes ahead and tells you what makabe patish is and doesn't even point out that this has to be a third location. By chiseling, he didn't even have to tell you there are different locations at all. He could have told you chiseling is because you make bumps, or chiseling because you make it flat. He could have told you one or the other. And I would have understood the Mishnah says chiseling is makabe patish. And the next Rashi comes and says makabe patish is knocking it off the wall. What should Rashi have said? This must be a different case. Where Rashi didn't have to tell me it's different locations, he tells me... What? Okay. What I'm trying to say is that Rashi didn't say... You're right, maybe knocking it off the mountain... He's talking about a third place.
Okay.
Rashi didn't say that.
Okay.
And you know what? He could have. How do I know that he could have said that?
He could have said it earlier.
Because he did say it in the previous Rashi. The previous Rashi said there are different kinds of places. And the next Rashi, where you have to say more than any other case, because it's only going to be makabe patish if you're not doing chiseling afterwards. Yeah?
Could it be that there could be two independent makabe patishes
on one kli, in one kli?
In one kli, for example.
One item?
The now that it popped in my head, it's if you're putting together a car. Let's say you put the finishing touch on the muffler, and then I don't think so.
I mean, we'll learn Makapatish for the next week or two together, and let's keep our eyes open. I have been learning it for a week or two, and I've not found any case where there's multiple Makapatishes on one kli. Unless you say a muffler is a different kli than the car. But I don't think that's true. I think muffler is part of the car. If you're a muffler manufacturer, you're Meineke. Right. Mr. Meineke, right. So when he puts the finishing touch on a muffler, fine. But if you're Mr. Ford who has to attach the muffler to the Ford Escort or right. Civic, then the Honda Civic, thank you.
Huh? No, I said uh-huh.
Oh, I thought you said Honda.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Because I said Ford Civic. It's a Honda Civic. I thought you said uh-huh.
The muffler itself has a finishing touch.
If your name is Mr. Toyota, then finishing the hub muffler will definitely not be.
Okay.
Alex is suggesting maybe if your name is Mr. Meineke, right. You know what Meineke is? Meineke is a company that puts on mufflers. Yeah, they do mufflers. So then maybe you could say that. But in general, as far as what I've learned over the past few weeks, there's no such thing as two Makom Padishes in the same kli. And we'll have to keep our eyes open if that's true. Can I ask you a very basic question?
Well, if there's that by definition, makapatish means that there can't be another one because the last finishing touch is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But what if I'm using the rock to use the rock, not to build? I mean, I'm using the rock to block something.
Oh, then clearly, the makapatish will knock it off the mountain.
Right.
Clearly.
Sorry. Yeah, maybe that's.
So you're saying that's Rashi's case is.
Maybe.
So then. I think you're answering what Josh said, that there's some places where they don't dress, they call it in America, dressing the rocks. They don't dress the rocks, and then taking it off. So that could be a third place. Let Rashi say that, like you said in the previous Rashi.
I just want to say the same as Alex, but different words. Isn't there makev patish for different professions? In my profession, taking the rock down is the end of my job, as opposed to you are a stone carver or whatever it's called. You're finishing... Your job is to make it look pretty.
So you're suggesting that if you're a welder, the welder has his finishing job, to weld the pieces together. If you're an electrician, the electrician has the last part of his job. If you're the whatever else guy on the assembly line,
right?
Could you find a diak in Rashi that says your answer? I think there's a word in Rashi in this Mishnah. Did everyone hear what Reuven said? Reuven is saying that maybe every person,
Lefi,
every contractor, has a makom patish for his role in a building. We don't look at a building at the whole thing. We look at it at each person's role in the building. I don't know if you're right. But if you are right, I think there's a word in Rashi that I noticed that could be support to what you're saying. David, do you hear his answer? That we don't look at the kli, we look at the individual, at the person who has the job.
But that's what Alex said, that you said no, because, I mean, you can't use a kli twice.
Oh, right. As he says, but
Alex was saying for one person, he's suggesting maybe we look at different contractors, different individuals.
Same object.
That's what he's suggesting. I don't know if he's right, but if he is right, I think there's a word in Rashi that will support him.
One word?
Or two words.
Is it three words?
Look at what Josh just found. You hear that, Reuven? Josh loves you. Look at the end of the Rashi about the knocking the rock off the mountain. Yeah. He says, you hit with the hammer, maka gedola, and it falls down. I'm in the fourth skinny line. Vizehu gmar malacha shel chotzvei evan. What is chotzvei evan? People who chop rocks off mountains. Quarriers. Do you see those two words? Mm. Meaning, he doesn't say Zeu Gmar Malacha Shel Chatzivat Evan, quarrying a stone. He doesn't say Zeu Gmar Malacha Shel Evan. He could have said that. He said Zeu Gmar Malacha Shel Chotzvei Evan. That would be a great deal that you could have made to build a position that you just suggested. Maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong, but this is a great deal that you have. That maybe you could be medayik in this Rashi, that within a stone, there is one stone, the quarrier who cut it off the mountain has his gemar malacha. Then they ship it off to Jerusalem, and the guy who's building the kotel, and has to, or the Jerusalem stone, the building in Jerusalem, has to make the Jerusalem stone, does the chiseling, and he does his gemar malacha. Let's take a pause, because I think we might have walked too quickly. or ran too quickly. Can we look at the Mishnah, please? How many malachas are in this Mishnah?
Five.
How many av malachas are there?
Two.
Two. What are they?
Bonet.
How many toldos are there?
Three.
Three? Okay. What's the first case in the Mishnah?
Bona.
What's the second case in the Mishnah?
Mestate.
What's the third case of the Mishnah?
Badish.
Okay. What's Matzar? Kodech. Kodech, do you think is...
Real.
Kodech, do you think Kodech is...
Is a Makkah Patish?
Do you think it's Makkah Patish or do you think it's Bona?
No, it's Bona.
When you drill a hole.
I think according to the example, it's Bona. To the example of the person digging a hole...
Because you always drill until you use it for something else.
Fine, I would agree that drilling a hole is Bona. Let's go backwards. Matzar. Maybe Ma'atzad, you bang with a hammer, Rashi doesn't really explain much, it just says you bang. I would assume it's also Bona. Makapatish is Makapatish. What's Misatate?
We know by chiseling.
Is it Makapatish? I've been explaining for the past 25 minutes that Misatate is Makapatish.
It says in Tariqe, in the Gemara itself, that is Makapatish.
Okay.
But if you need a chiseled the Jerusalem stone to make bumps in it, then that's Makim Patish.
A master
saying it's Makim Patish.
We've been learning for the past 20 minutes, we've been analyzing with the Rashi that says that you chisel different ways in different places because some places they finish it like this, some places they finish it like this. That's all assuming that it's Makim Patish.
Could be Bona.
Maybe it's Bona.
You need to chisel something in order to. Right. You need to chisel something flat in order to put something on top of it.
Is that why the Mishnah kind of places two avot melachot not like amongst other things which are could be told us of one or the other?
I don't know, but I do want to show you one line. It's not fair because I saw more than you. But if you could go to the two dots in the middle of this page. Misates, two dots, misates. Everyone see it? Yaniv, you want to read that first line and a half of the Gemara? After two dots?
Misatet mishum maim mechayev, Rav amar mishum boneh, Shmuel amar mishum makeh batish.
Period. What do you have here?
So, misatet is, why is it chayev? How is it chayev? Rav Amar says in the name of Shmuel, since it's Makeh Batish, no, I just skipped the line.
No, Rav Amar that it's Bone, and I
So Rav and Shmuel are also having difficulty.
Oh, so this question that I just asked you is Machlokas Amaram on this very page. What is Misates? Rashi told us that Misates is chiseling either to make bumps or to make it flat, and Rashi said clearly that it depends on the location. Is Rashi saying what he said? Josh, listen to this question. Is Rashi saying what he's saying, that it depends on the location, to fit into all opinions? Or is Rashi explaining that it depends on the location only according to one, only according to Rav, or only according to Shmuel?
Rashi doesn't paskin according to the time or Amaran. Rashi just is a Perush, so he's got to explain it such that it could fit to either Rav or Shmuel's dais.
So you're suggesting that Bona will depend on... You're saying that this Rashi, where Rashi says clearly that it depends on the location. You're saying, Jesse is saying...
Why Rav? There's no Rashi.
Depends on location.
You saw the Gemara?
Depends on
location. Yeah, I
know. No.
We just
in the middle. We just read a Gemara for a line and a half. The two dots. Machloket Rav and Shmuel, if Misatet is Bona or it's Makom Patish. Jesse is suggesting that since Rashi is just explaining the Mishnah, and Rav and Shmuel are arguing about what the Mishnah said, but the Misatet that's in the Mishnah, what is it? And since Rashi is on the Mishnah, he's just explaining it, so Rashi has to remain neutral. He's like a judge.
But is it even
he can't take positions, and Rashi here is saying that depends on locations. That means, according to Jesse, that it's that this idea of it depends where you are. Different. Sometimes it's a Doraisa over here, it's not a Doraisa there. That's going to be true by Makom Patish and by Bona.
That's
what you're suggesting.
You just said... You could make a deal, but I'm not sure if this is safe at all. But you could say, when Rashi depends on the Makom, he could be tacitly assuming whether you hold by Rav or whether you hold the Makom that holds by Rav or the Makom that holds by Shmuel. Is that possible?
Nah, that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. That's saying
that... Where's Rav? I only see Hasid Amr Shmuel.
Vesati Mishum Amichai, first we're on the line. Rav Amar Mishum Bona. Shmuel Amar, you have the two dice?
I don't see it
either. David, show them where it is.
Oh, I didn't get
it. I know you didn't get it.
Can Rashi just be neutral? I think that's
but if Rashi's being neutral, your sandwich as it says, that Rashi's fitting into everybody,
no,
right?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's almost impossible to be neutral. You always have to pick a side in order to interpret the
There are two options. Either Rashi is picking a side or Rashi's not picking a side.
Right.
If he's not picking a side, that means he has to fit into everybody. If he is picking a side, that means he only has to fit into one of them. Those are the two options.
Can he not pick a side? How can you explain
if he doesn't pick a side?
How come in the Rashi and the Mishnah, how can we say he's going again, going like Shmuel or Rav?
He's going like general.
General?
Like the rule? What's the rule? There's machloka what the rule is. There's machloka what ma'asate is. He's telling you what misate is. He's giving you the halacha. Oh, so Josh made a suggestion. Josh argued on Jesse. Jesse said that Rashi is only commentarying. He's only explaining.
Yeah, if you're saying...
Josh is arguing on you, and Josh is saying Rashi is paskening.
So what do you have to say that?
I think Josh would say...
Is there any instance in Shas where Rashi paskens from the Mishnah?
Rashi's not paskening from the Mishnah. Rashi is paskening for you. Rashi learned this Mishnah. I assure you, when he wrote his commentary on the Mishnah, he saw the Gemara already.
Yeah, like Jesse and
yeah,
probably many times.
Mefarish to come on.
Sometimes he does that. That's what he did here. He didn't do that.
Yeah, but you need to. You're the one that's making more of an assertion than me. Josh is.
You're right,
more of
but the weak point in what you're saying is that according to you, Jesse, this Rashi has to fit into both Matish and Bona.
I don't think it's difficult to.
According so fine, I'll just highlight what my question is. My question is right now, gentlemen, is that if. If Misates is Bona, let's say Makabe Patish is Bona, that means that what's Bona in one location is not Bona in a different location. What's Bona in Tel Aviv is not Bona in Yerushalayim. What's Bona in Yerushalayim is not Bona in Tel Aviv. That bothers me a little bit. Shall I tell you why? Because I understand that if we talk about something like Makabe Patish, which is the final blow, so there could be only one possible final blow in every
category.
Case in every worker, in every kli, the last thing that you do. So here it's step 9, there it's step 10. Here it's step 10, there it's step 9. So it depends on your location. But if we're dealing in the realm of Bona, what's Bona?
Building.
What action is Bona?
To stick two things together.
Any and everything that got the house up. Right? All the things that I had to do to get myself a building, an apartment building,
every
a skyscraper.
Step, so
every step. No.
Kolshu also with Makabe Patish.
Kolshu is how much you have to do. Even if that last act, step number 10, was a tiny thing, Yichai from Makabe Patish. As opposed to Bona, where every one of those steps, even as small as they are, step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, are all Bona. So if that's the case, I don't see a difference between, there shouldn't be a difference between Tel Aviv and Yerushalayim.
For
Bona. Because if we're talking about Bona, I don't care if you do it in Yerushalayim 9 then 10 or in Tel Aviv 10 then 9, they're both steps in the building process and therefore it should all be Bona. And shouldn't depend on the location. You should be chai for any step that you do. You hear that, Jesse?
Rabbi, can't you say what I tried to say earlier about the Lachas Machshavas is assuming that you're not really building, you're chiseling for other purposes.
So Rashi
that's why you're shmatering. If you're chiseling in a different way than the regular, so you're clearly not building because that's not the way people build.
Rashi never pointed out that you're chiseling in a weird way. Rashi said opposite. He said you're chiseling in the normal way for that place.
Yeah, fine. But I'm saying why you would be patur for chiseling in the weird way. If I'm in Jerusalem,
oh, because you're saying you're just doing weird. Oh, you're saying so maybe it could be Bona.
So he's assuming,
and
you're not
because it's weird because this is not how they do it.
So you're not constructing anything; you're choosing for a different purpose.
I hear.
So you're clear of Bona.
I hear what you're saying, Jesse. Yes, the Chasam Sofer says that this Rashi is only assuming that this Rashi's explanation here, where he's talking about the different locations, assuming that it's only going according to the one who says it's Makabe Patish, which is Shmuel. Yes, that's what the Chasam Sofer writes here. You know that you know?
On Rashi.
On this Rashi, the Chasam Sofer says that this Rashi's comment where he tells it depends on this location, that must be assuming that it's Makkah B'Patish, because Bona, it doesn't make sense. That should depend on the location. So anything you, any and everything you do, if it's Bona.
Rashi holds it Shmuel.
Rashi's passing like Shmuel.
According to the Chasam Sofer.
According to the Chasam Sofer, correct. You were right. According to the Chasam Sofer. Yes. Yes.
Can Rashi, the Mishnah clearly is either one or the other. So can Rashi explain the Mishnah on a neutral way? I mean, if the Rashi is going to explain a Mishnah, then you have to pick a side, what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means one or the other. You can't explain both.
Well, Rav and Shmuel are Tanoim or Amoraim.
Amoraim.
That means they came before or after the Mishnah?
After.
That means Rav and Shmuel came after the Mishnah. That means they both worked with the same Mishnah.
Yeah.
Did Rav learn the Mishnah like Shmuel?
No.
So which way? That means Rav is explaining the Mishnah in one way. Shmuel is explaining the Mishnah in a different way.
Yeah.
And Rashi is now explaining the Mishnah. So he's either explaining the Mishnah in a way that will fit with both of them, or he's explaining the Mishnah in the way Shmuel explained the Mishnah, explaining the Mishnah in the way that Rav explained the Mishnah.
Can he explain in a way that it fits both? If the Mishnah...
Yeah, you know what he could have done? He could have said, Misates, that is chiseling.
Rav...
He didn't. Okay. He said a lot more words.
Rav could be mechalik on statements from tonight, correct? Rav is like the...
No. What you're referring to, this is an important... Last semester we pointed out, Hananiel, you remember last semester we said that Rav had this incredible meeting with Rebbe? Did we talk about it in the morning? Right? So there, Jesse's referring, there's one line in the Gemara that appears in only one or two places in Shas, maybe a handful. Rav, Tanahu Upalig. Rav was the first Amora, right? First generation Amora. So it says Rav is a Tanahu, I mean he's not a Tana, he's an Amora. But he's the closest we have to Atana, and therefore Upalik. What's Palik?
He's
allowed to argue. Now,
Shmuel wasn't.
Shmuel the same generation, yeah. But maybe he wasn't. That is a last ditch effort when we have no choice. That's not a good argument that we'd like to do.
No.
When we have no choice, and we're stuck,
yeah.
And it seems that Rav has a mission against him, and we can't figure out any way to answer it, the Gemara has no choice, but sometimes in very rare exceptional cases to say, you know what? I have no way out of this contradiction between Rav and an explicit Mishnah. It must be that he's arguing on this Mishnah.
I'm not using it as a last if ever, but I'm using it as a way to explain the ambiguity in the Mishnah. Maybe Rav had an influence on how this Mishnah was written.
I don't think he would influence the Mishnah. No. Rav definitely didn't have influence the Mishnah. Absolutely not.
He wasn't around, like, historically, it wasn't?
If he was, he was a little kindergarten kid. He would definitely did not have influence on the Mishnah. It's possible that he might argue on it, like a student arguing on his, the generation just a little bit older than him. That's possible if we have no other choice. But he didn't influence the writing of the Mishnah. That's clearly
that. So then what? The machlokas here, I can be moda according to the Chasam Sofer's reading. Which might be better than what I thought, but why then does the Mishnah interdisperse that place misates between two avos malachos?
Beautiful, according to the Chasam Sofer. I never realized this, Jesse. I love you. I never realized this. Forget the Chasam Sofer. Why does the word misates between the two avos malachos? There are two avos malachos. What do you think? If you were Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, David. You wanted to write this mission. You wanted to write a list of avos malachos and toldos. There are two ways to do it. Either list all the avos, and then list all the toldos. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to list an av with its toldos, and the av with its toldos. This mission does neither. How do I know that?
It does neither.
I don't think you could say that, but... I'll tell you what we're going to say in a minute. How do I know this mishnah is neither normal way? Because what are the two? Is it grouping the two avos? No, because there's something between Bona, Makkah, and Patish. Is it saying the toldos with its av, next each one next to their father?
No, because
the last two are clearly building. And they're at the end. So what is... I never realized. This is brilliant. Rav and Shmuel are brilliant. Why, of all the five cases in this Mishnah, is there only machlokas by Mesates?
Because it's between the two.
Exactly. For some reason, the Tana put it, Mr. Tana, you are not writing, what are you smoking when you're writing this Mishnah? Write it in one intelligent way or in a different intelligent way. You're writing in neither of the two intelligent ways. There are only five elements here. You could have written two easy ways. You chose neither. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, in his absolute brilliance, is bedavka putting Mesates between Bona and Makir B'Patish to say that Mesates you could look at in different ways, and maybe that's exactly where the possibility for Machlokas of Rav and Shmuel came in. Because if our Mishnah would have said, you know, in one of the two intelligent ways that I suggested, then a clean reading of the Mishnah would clearly indicate that it's
the Mishnah wasn't still going through any editing when Rav was in.
No.
Okay, because you're explaining it chronologically. I was explaining it anachronistically.
Forward.
I thought that maybe Rav had an influence.
Rav Tanu apologist means that he knows of the Mishnah and he still argued on it. Right. It doesn't mean he's influencing. It doesn't mean he's impacting. No, there's no. It's a one direction, from Sinai down. You know, straight.
And the only reason why I would have thought about that was because Rav Tana, that's the only reason.
But that doesn't mean that he impacted on the Rav Mishnah.
Okay.
But I appreciate you just made me realize something incredible. Isn't that brilliant? That we understand only by Mesad, you'll see, we're going to finish the sugya not so long. By the end of the week, whatever, by the end of the semester, we'll get up to the next mission on the next Amud, and there's going to be no other machlokas about any of these five. Mesad is the only one. And Masad is the one between these two. And we also now understand why the Mishnah is written so weirdly. So that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, do you see how he's writing his Mishnayos? If I'm right. Without even saying anything, he tells you that Masad is a question mark, how to look at it. And therefore leaving room for Rav and Shmuel. Right, just by what? By putting it, by his placement. That's the precision of the writing of the Mishnah.
Did it confuse them?
What?
No, because
Masad is apparently there are two valid ways to look at it. I mean, you and I are going to have to pass in like one or the other. But in terms of, truth be told, it has elements of, like, Makub Padish, it has elements like Bona, and that's why Rav says one, Shmuel says the other.
Right. I understand this other part. Could you go back and explain a little bit of Rashi, how he's explaining the...
Yes. Bro, yes.
No, I thought something else to say that it's bothering me a lot. Which we read today, we were supposed to read the Gemara 20 pages before this Gemara in Hey.
Yeah.
And it says clearly, Ramastet et Aeven, not specifically what to do with the Eben, it says, Ramastet with the Eben, what are you chisel from
Aeven? Let's everybody turn to page Ayin Hey. I want to answer your question, but let's turn to page Ayin Hey. David is angry.
It's really specific.
David is very angry. But he's not angry at me, he's angry at the Gemara. One line are we on? One line.
It starts with
Ramastet. First run line is Chayav in my Gemara. Is that the line?
Yeah.
Page 150. It's 40% of the way down. First word of the line is Chayav. It said the first word is Chayav for three straight lines, the middle one. Chayav Mishum Mamachek. Fine. There's a tiny Vav there. Vamisatet et ha'even.
Bishabbat.
Do you see it? Vamisatet et ha'even Bishabbat. Chay Mishum Makke Bepatish, right? That's what you're angry about. And tell me what you're angry. Say your angriness.
With opinions.
No, because first of all, why are they discuss? If they know that this happened already, if they know that the Gemara itself, it's not a commentary, it's not a Rashi, not a Tosfit.
Perfect.
The Tana Kama says that it's Makabe Patish.
Great.
Specifically saying that it's Makabe, it doesn't say Hayab only. It says Makabe, it's Hayab because of Makabe.
So I want you to articulate a question clearly.
Why is there a machloket 20 pages later about something that is clarified by the Gemara?
Thank you.
Now?
Josh, answer his question.
Because it's only the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. It's not the opinion of...
Who is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi? Amar... go back five lines. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba.
Okay.
Gimel Dvarim. Three things, Sach li Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi whispered, Sach, had a conversation with me, three things in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Who's Rav Ashi? The last Amora. Did you know that, David? Rav Ashi is one of the authors of the Gemara. There are two people who put the Gemara, just like we say the Mishnah was compiled by who? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Who is the editor, not the author? Who is the editor of the Gemara?
Rav Ashi.
Ravina. There's one word, Ravina, not Ravina. Ravina and Rav Ashi. He was the last generation Amora in the year 500 or so, 490. The last generation. Now he's talking here. Amar, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Gimel Dvarim, three things, Sachli Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi told me the following three things. So this is like the year 450, this is like the very last generation of Amoraim. He told me in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who I guess is a little bit earlier. He told me three halachas. One, Hamagar Rashi Klimsa B'Shabbat Chayim Shem Mechatech. Two, Memareach Retiyah B'Shabbat Chayim Shem Mechatech. Three, Misadit Adhevim B'Shabbat Chayim Shem Makav Patish. David, Machloket Rav and Shmuel on Dafka Bezim and Bez. Where did Rav and Shmuel live? You know.
After.
You know.
Harani? No.
When did Rav and Shmuel live? I gave you a trick. Rav and Shmuel. Who is Rav? He was the person who had that conversation with Rebbe. Do you remember last semester?
He was the first Amora.
He was the first Amora. So the machloka that we have on our daf, on Kavbezim and Aleph, Kavbezim and Beis, in our perek, is the machloka of Rav and Shmuel, that's the first generation Amora.
Right. So
250 years later, somebody makes a comment that Mesatit is Chayav Mishum.
I am Patish, Makabipatish.
Makabipatish. So what does that just mean? So
Rav is right.
That means that by the end of the Amoraim, who did they paskin like?
Rav.
At the end, they have like Rav. Or, whoever said Makabipatish.
Let's start again. David. Rav and Shmuel are the first generation Amoraim. They argue. What does Shmuel say?
Shmuel
200 years later, there's this person, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, who had a Talmud named Rav Ashi, who was the last Amora, who wrote the Gemara, who finalized and concluded the Gemara.
So he's later that he's
holding like Shmuel.
He's holding like Shmuel. So in other words, what do you think it means if a very, very, very late Amora says, Mesatit is this, and you asked, what do you mean? But we had a machlokas what Mesatit is. What do you think is happening?
That the Gemara, in general, that we go like Shmuel.
Exactly, he's paskening. He knows the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel from 200 years ago. But he's paskening like
rule
Shmuel. Thank you. I didn't realize this when I came to shir today. Now we could understand Rashi even better, like the Chasam Sofer. Why is Rashi explaining the case of Misates specifically that it depends on the location, which sounds like Makabe Patish? Why is he being mean to Rashi?
It's
Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. Either say it in a general way if he can. Or say, don't explain it all, or say, look ahead and you'll see that there are different ways to learn it. He picks one way. What chutzpah does Rashi have to pick? He's going to decide who's better, Rav and Shmuel. The answer is, Rashi on Daf Kuf Beis probably learned already Daf Ayin Hei Amud Beis. And he knew that in the Machloket Rav and Shmuel, we had the Gemara Paskins. Like who? Like Shmuel. So if he has to now explain in the Mishnah, one of the two, yeah, he could have chosen to be neutral. Apparently he didn't. Which one's he going to pick? The one we passed him like. This is beautiful. Everything's coming together more than I even thought it would be. You have to remind me to add all these points to my notes.
Does Rashi ever mention who we passed him like specifically?
This is how he does it.
Gemara would say halacha ke whatever. Does Rashi?
Rarely. The Gemara barely ever says that.
Really?
The Gemara paskins 10 times more than it actually says the halacha is like so-and-so. You figure out from the way the Gemara speaks how the Gemara paskins. For example, if there are two opinions and the Gemara is asking all the questions and gives answers only according to one of them, that's the Gemara's way of telling you we paskin like that one.
How would this look in the Rif? Like if the Rif did this Mishnah. I mean, would the Rif mention this Machlokas or?
Sometimes the Rif would mention the Machlokas, but if he would mention this Machlokas and he would also quote the Gemara in Ayin Hei.
Yeah.
That means he's doing the same thing that the Gemara did. Bring a machloket to one place, and but bring a later opinion, 250 years later, saying one of them, obviously paskening like one of them.
Rabbi,
I'm so excited. I came to shir without any of this, and you just gave me shir. I shouldn't have prepared. I should just come talk to you, and then we would have...
But isn't there the Tosfot that you gave us, would be, I think, a little bit of a difficulty, because... That Tosfot is saying that this is only for a specific case.
Oh, yes, that's exactly what I wanted to do today.
It's Makabe Patish. It's Makabe Patish for a specific case, not for every Mesate.
Is...
still blue, no?
Yes, we're gonna. That's exactly what I want to say in a few minutes. Yeah.
So it's not something. It's not something that the Gemara is concluding between the two, between Rav and Rav Shmuel.
I didn't read the first part.
Let me think. When we get to the Tosas, you'll try to remind me. My mind's not there right now. Okay. You saw on Daf Ayin Heyam and Beis, the reason why I gave you Daf Ayin Heyam and Beis, even though it's not our Gemara, is because that's the longest Gemara about Ma'akev Patish. Because when I say longest, I mean it gives you the most cases. Scattered throughout Shas, there are 10, maybe 12 different cases of Ma'akev Patish. Sometimes they're called Ma'akev Patish. Sometimes the Gemara just says Chayev, and Rashi will say Ma'akev Patish. And sometimes the Gemara will call it Tikkun Maneh, fixing a Kli, making a Kli.
Maneh is Kli?
Maneh in Aramaic is a Kli. Tikkun Maneh is the same, making a Kli is the same as Ma'akev Patish. Okay? So I wanted you to see the Gemara in Daf Ayin Hey, which David just brought us to, where it talked about Mesate Tata Evan, it talked about drawing, do you see the case of drawing a picture on a Kli?
Yes.
Let's look at Ayin Heyam and Beis quickly. This is just background so we can get to the real work.
Ayin Heyam and Beis?
Yeah, so... Yeah, right after we saw Mesate Tata Evan B'Shabbat, Chayim B'Shemakim Patish, let's look at 45% down. By the tiny Zion, please. Reuven, you want to read this? Almost 50% down. Right near, there's a parenthesis with an aleph. Right below the parenthesis aleph. Yeah, Amar B'Shem Ben Lakish.
Atzar Tzura Bekli.
What does that mean?
Someone draw
that you form a shape
on a
Kli.
So that could mean either by drawing or it could mean by
shaping the Kli itself?
I don't think so, because it doesn't mean shaping the Kli into a shape. It says you're drawing a Tzura on a Kli. Design. How else do you design something? Think pottery. How do you design pottery? Etching, if not by etching. Yeah, by etching. So if you draw this picture, or etch this picture on a Kli, and what else? Go ahead, Reuven. What's menapeach?
The blow.
How do you know that the word nafach means blow?
Nafach.
Did anyone here learn?
Gracious.
Well, how does Hashem create man?
He blows from the Shammai's nose. Vayipach.
Ve'apav. His nose. Nishmat chayim. A man became... the Nefesh Chaya. Fine, that's how Hashem created us. Good. So if you blow into a glass, glob of melted glass, then it will come a Kli. Fine. That blowing is Ma'akev Patish. Next case is a little harder to read. Continue, Reuven. What does Haiman mean?
Remove the...
What's Haiman?
That man.
This man. Deshakil. What's di?
That
or whom? What's shakil?
Took.
Take or took? Akufe. Thorns me gleamy. What's a glima? A glima is a garment, a shirt, a jacket. Gleamy or plural? Someone who takes the thorns from the jacket or the coat or the shirt.
What is that, akufi?
Akufe are thorns. Or little needles that come off of a tree. You pull off those little things from the garment, as long as, oh honey mealy, go ahead, Reuven.
The honey mealy, the capitalahu.
What does the capitalahu mean?
Careful, concerned.
That in this matter, we're very particular.
No,
the honey mealy, and this was said, this is true only if the capitalahu. He cares about it.
If he didn't care that there was thorns inside.
If you don't care if there's a little piece, chip of wood, or a little splinter of wood in your jacket, you're not so, it's not like you're running down, you're walking down the runway to be, you know, for your, you know, so everyone's going to take a picture of you.
At that point, you're allowed to take it off?
Then it's not Ma'akev Patish. But if you care about it, or they're big enough that they're the kind that you would care about, then it's makom patush.
You should wait and take it off after Shabbat.
And then you can't, if you do it on Shabbos, you can't take it off, right?
But you could still wear it with a thorn inside.
You could definitely wear it with a thorn inside, yes. Wait a second. If you care about it, that means you probably wouldn't wear it with the thorns in it, because you care about it. Care about it means I wouldn't wear it if there are thorns in it. It looks so ugly. It's so weird. So if we talk about halacha, let's talk about a halacha mice right now. Did you ever buy a fancy suit?
Yeah.
It takes a Persian, right? Did you ever buy a fancy suit? And in the store, it has like a yellow thread right over there. To show you that it's never been worn, never been not returned to the store, it's never worn before, it's new, it's fancy, it's... Okay? It's not attached to the garment. They just put a yellow string in there just to show you that it's a new suit. And before you wear it, you have to... Would you ever walk into shul with that yellow string in it?
No.
Absolutely not. So you're kapit alayu.
Yeah.
Therefore, if you would pull out that string, not ripping anything, you just pull that string out, you violate makom patush mida oraisa. No tearing, no ripping.
Just finished it.
You put on the finishing touch to make this suit that was unwearable, now it's wearable. You would never wear this to shul, now you could wear it to shul. That's this case. That's literally the case. Instead of talking about a thorn from the wind, we're talking about a string from the, you know, the
suit.
The manufacturer.
What if you have hair on your suit? If you go into shul, and it's fine, but it's just annoying you, so you want to take it off.
Good question. It could be the difference is if this happened in the manufacture of the process. You already had a suit that you've been wearing for the past 5 months.
Yeah.
Something got caught in it, you want to take it out. So you're not making it into the suit right now. As opposed to when you buy a suit in the store, it has never been a usable suit because it has this yellow string in it. When you take the yellow string out, it's become, for the first time in its life, a usable suit.
Right, but if I wouldn't go in because there's like a blotch of dirt like that's on my suit, and I could actually just dust it off, that would then also be makom patush.
We'll have to talk about that not for a few days. You're also getting, once you're talking about cleaning suits, this is not cleaning. This is something different. Cleaning itself is an iser d'oraisa, which is different of malacha, of malabe. Cleaning of suits, including wiping off dust patches, if it's, you know, that could be an iser d'oraisa of a different malacha. Okay. Let's finish off. Who did see this Gemara and the Rashi's that we just read?
You
good.
Know.
Fine.
Nishanai.
I want...
Oh.
Thank you. Reuven mentioned something that I want to now talk about. Look at this Tosfos right here on Daf Ayin Hamun Beis. It's a short Tosfos. V'hamesah teisas ha'even chay mishumaka v'patish.
Yeah. Aval mishum...
David, you want to read this Tosfos?
Yeah, we couldn't.
No? Who was able to do it?
Uchilfo?
Reuven?
Misatate.
The third Tosfos on page 150.
We did it.
You did? Okay, Reuven, go ahead.
Misatefet ha'even, ha'am mishum makeh bepatish, aval mishum mechatech, umimachek lo mechayev. Demayri, shekvar hi merubat umetukenet,
ela shtehet... Stop, explain.
That this stone is, it's a specific case. It's a stone that is already squared and fixed. It's already...
We're not going to be chayev. Therefore, chiseling will not make me chayev, but for mechatech. What's mechatech?
Cutting.
Cutting, good. And what's mimachek?
Strike.
Erasing.
That's makeh.
I think it's smoothing.
Smoothing, correct. Smoothing. It's not going to be cutting. I'm not going to violate cutting, and I'm not going to violate the malacha of smoothing. Why not? Because this stone is already squared and prepared. What's all that I'm doing? Ella, says Rashi, says Tosos, continue.
Shmeyapeota ve'oseba sirtutim.
Stop.
Sirtutim.
What does that mean?
Line.
That I'm making it more beautiful and I'm making lines on it.
Lines. What kind of lines? I think it's like the Jerusalem stone. Just like Jerusalem stone. They're like chiseled. Little lines or whatever. The yipui and beauty. Just like. What does those last four words say?
That it's just like the people, the stone chiselers of today.
Right. What is very interesting about how Tosfos is explaining Mesatet differently than Rashi in our Mishnah, Daf Kuf Bet Amud Bet, in Perek Habona, explained Masatis.
Tosfot says this is chiseling.
Thank you.
Rashi says you can someplace.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So, what's happening between Rashi and Tosos? Yeah, I think it's very significant. Did you notice this?
Yeah, but I don't think it's a machloket.
Could be. They certainly don't say the same things. They're certainly saying different things. What am I supposed to do with this? I'm not really sure.
It seems like you're saying the same thing in the sense that if it wasn't what they did today, and someone did it in the time of Tosos, and they wouldn't be tied for Machu Picchu. Rashi just says that in the current time that they're speaking, there are different prevalent practices. But it seems like the Tosfos is adding that this is what we do today, in order to think you could maybe make a view that if you put it today, then if it wasn't the way that we did it today, then someone nowadays would not be fired.
I actually read Tosfos the exact opposite way. I would say, the Misatis of the Eben, it happens to be the same way we do it today. So he's referring to a very specific act, and if they wouldn't be doing this act, that wouldn't be Misatit.
I don't think so. I think we should focus on the word beautifying. That the action Makeh Bepatish here is making it beautiful. It doesn't matter if it's, I mean, as Rashi said, depending on the town, so for you, making it beautiful is making holes, for me, it's making it smooth, but like beautifying it, that's a Makeh Bepatish.
I hear. I originally was going to say that I think we have Machloket Rashi and Tosos here. Rashi sounds like he's saying, whatever different styles, different times, whatever happens to be in your land, at your time, that's going to be Makeh Bepatish. Tosfos, I have said, it looked to me that Tosfos was describing a specific action or thing that you do with a chisel. You make lines just like they do in modern France, wherever Tosfos lives. And Tosfos is referring to a specific act that's called Masates, or that is the Masates that is Makeh Bepatish. Everything else, if you made it flat.
This is what Masates is and nothing else is Masates.
That's what I thought Tosfos was saying. Yeah.
He's just talking about his time.
No, he's saying that the Misates that the Mishnah says that Yechayev is making Situtim, just like they do nowadays.
But what if they stop?
If they wouldn't have doing it nowadays, it's, I don't know, it just happens to be that's what they do nowadays, but so it's this act of making Situtim. Tosa didn't just say like they do nowadays. He also said it's making a line. What did Rashi say? It could sometimes be making lines. It could sometimes be making.
I think that's so. What, doesn't
make
that.
What?
Doesn't
matter
the
action.
Tosfos means the same thing, but he's just saying it.
Rashi says that it doesn't matter what the action.
But Tosfos is saying the same thing. No?
Tosfos sounds to me. I thought other people are arguing me. I have no problem with
what
they're saying.
He's just saying what he did in his time.
No, but I think.
But why did Tosfos say? Why did Tosfos say va'osa basu tutin? You're making lines, just so like...
He says, but how would Tosfos understand...
Because they also did two Tutim and Tosfos' time.
But they don't make Sututim now, do they?
What?
They don't make lines up.
Let's say in Tel Aviv they definitely don't make Sututim now. No, in Yerushalayim I think they do. But in Tel Aviv they don't do Sututim.
So you let it chisel all you want, because you're not making Sututim.
It's not Makeh Bepatish. Maybe it's Mechate. What did Tosfos say? It's not Mechatech and Mechakech. Maybe it would be Mechakech. If you do it flat. Rashi said whether you do it flat or lines, it's Makeh Bepatish based on whatever you do in that yard. Yeah?
Maybe they define it like by the
That's what I was thinking. You're saying that it's Makeh Bepatish. But not just which act is it. Rashi says it's any act that's a normal act. So it's saying, no, it's a specific case.
He thinks it's a whole thing. How about tomorrow? No one else does something. No one does a specific process.
Again, Rashi's not saying it's a whole process. Rashi's saying it's any process that makes it. Wait, Josh, are these your gloves?
Yeah.
Have a good Shabbos, gentlemen. It's very different limud than hotzah, isn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit lighter. It's moving a little quicker. Lego. I think I should, I guess. It's important. Let's try. I didn't work on it yet, but let me... That's not going to be Makeh Bepatish. That's going to be bonus.
Yeah.
unless if we assume there's no bone issues, what happens if I have my, what happens if I, that's going to be fine, that's going to be the sigil, I guess, which is going to be part of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said the word miskayemis. Zahav klal, kol malacha, that's where it's going to, we'll have to talk about there. What happens if I have a, I build myself a little truck or a car, the only thing that's missing is the wheel. One wheel. And now I put the wheel on. Let's say there's no bonus because it's not miskayemis. Well, first of all, you have to figure out, is makor patish also subject to miskayemis? Let's say you don't need miskayemis for makor patish. Then we could say, well, maybe putting that wheel on, you're making it from a not a car to yes a car. You're making it from a non-thing to a usable car, to whatever, my finished product. Maybe that could be considered. You know, or maybe if you follow directions for when you buy a new Lego set, you follow directions, you get to step 24, which is the last step. Maybe that's makor patish. So we'll have to, thank you. Let me just turn off the heat on you. Yeah.